How about them Cowboys?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Bird Chirp Podcast. I am Micah from a top secret, very undisclosed location in Bismarck, North Dakota. And alongside me today is Elijah Hickman. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Freezing.
Really? Is it that cold?
I've had the air off in my room all day, and it is 66 degrees in this room. I refuse to turn the heat on.
Damn. It's
cold, dude.
It's only 4.
What's it feels like temperature? Negative 11?
Probably. Let me look. Feels like negative 6.
Cap. I call bull. That is cold, though.
No, it is. But you were, telling me that.
Oh, yeah. So when we're at the plant, I'm pulling in, and the guy I'm working with is like, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. Since the cooling tower is there, and there's so much moisture in the cooling tower, it's just like evaporating into the air. They say that it approximately feels about 20 degrees colder than the actual temperature. So this morning we roll up, it's 1 degrees. Well, that means it feels like negative 19.
So it's
just because the amount of moisture that's in the air from that cooling tower.
Oh, so you know how it feels this like here today.
You were what, positive 19 today?
Yeah. No, it wasn't too bad today. But yeah, I guess let's. Do you want to scoot back and start talking about this cold front and stuff that we got? So let's see. We recorded on Thursday last week. Wednesday,
I think it was. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Thursday. Anything cool happened Thursday or Friday?
Work all week long.
Yeah. I went out to Nate's and started boiling my Dole. My dough skull on Friday night. Just doing that stuff. Oh, me and Marvin went and got our deer meat back. That was nice. No, nothing super crazy. Just we played a bunch of Uno and stuff this weekend and worked on those deer heads. And then Sunday we went back out there. The front came in Friday night. Or wait, no, it came in Saturday.
Arguably.
Yeah, because Saturday was the day you Snapchatted me on your way back, and you said in the last 10 minutes it's dropped like 12 degrees.
Yeah, there was a small front Thursday night.
It did. It chilled off Thursday night. Friday was, chilly.
There was north winds all Thursday night, and Friday and Saturday, all day Friday and Saturday morning were just like chilly, like a little... not what we're used to. Like, it was right at freezing or something like that.
But it still got up into the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And then, like you said, Saturday, it was getting very cold.
Saturday, it started to push in pretty good. And Sunday night was the night that it really pushed in. And it even started to snow a little bit. In certain places Saturday night, and then Sunday night it started to snow a little bit and stuff, and then so Monday was kind of up in the air the whole time, and we ended up working and there was snow on the ground and we didn't really do much, but it is what it is. So
yep. Yeah, before that front on Saturday, so Friday I scouted, a lake, and I saw nothing but like 30 pintail and then like 20 teal or 30 teal with them. And I was like, yeah, that's great and all, but like, you can only shoot one pintail. And
Yeah.
they don't like me. They don't like anybody.
Yeah.
You kind of have to pass shoot them all day. And I mean, unless you're hunting like a small pond, but like, and I'm sure with all the weather conditions in effect, like, yeah, they probably were just decoyed and stuff like that. But pintail are just notoriously a little weary. And so I really didn't want to deal with that. But I was going to if that was the only option. But it wasn't the only option. I got invited on a pond hunt, and I'm not one to pass down a pond hunt because those are usually pretty greasy, pretty.
Yeah, especially this one.
Solid, yeah. And then we ended up shooting a 5-man with 3 bonus geese. So
yeah,
definitely glad I made that move. I will say, I don't know if I've ever really seen Bo just like, Dad, I'm done.
Really?
And the look in his eyes was like, Dad, if y'all kill any more birds, I will not be picking them up.
This was on Saturday, right?
Yeah, that was on Saturday. He was exhausted.
Okay, so it was just a tired thing. It wasn't because it was so cold.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was cold, too, and then
I mean, it didn't help.
I can't single free large. Like, I can squeeze it on him, but I can tell he's like, this is kind of a little small. And so I was like, okay, I need to go grab an XL. Bought an XL, and he was like, didn't even remotely get close to buttoning or zipping up or whatever it is. But another thing that doesn't help is that that pond gets super deep, super fast.
Yeah, and so he's having to swim most of it.
Yeah, exactly. So the birds, too, on that specific pond, they like to land kind of in the middle. So yeah. Like 40-yard shots, and then they kind of like, you know, they're flying off when you hit them and stuff like that. So all of his retrieves were between 30 and 60 yards.
Dang.
33 times.
Yeah, that's a handful.
I can understand how that's a little bit. Anybody out there can do the math if you want to total up how many yards.
And I mean,
he swam, but that's a lot.
Yeah,
too much.
And I mean, the majority of those are big ducks, at least, you know, at least gadwalls or mallards, and then and plus
all gadwall and wigeon. So
oh, is that what it was? And some geese. What'd you say it was?
Yeah,
50 yards, 33 times.
Well, I'd go like 45 as a median average.
It's 1,485 yards.
I feel so bad. But, I mean, that's his job. He loved doing it. But and it was like the adrenaline was going the whole time he was actually retrieving. But, like, once we were done,
yeah,
he kind of knew and he was
down.
Like, all right, I'm done. Thank you.
Yeah. Was
he pretty tired.
Did
he slept the whole way home.
I'm sure he did. Did he, like, was he still kind of... I don't know if whiny is the right word. Yeah, I mean, sure.
No.
Like, towards the end?
No. I mean, ducks were still, like, landing in the spread towards the end. Like, landing in, and he was just, like, sitting there.
Like
he should.
And this was, like, after y'all were done hunting, or it was, like, while he was... Oh, okay.
No, we were picking up, and, I mean, he was just loose, doing whatever he wanted to do, and he's watching birds. You know, you can see him just sitting there just watching birds, and you look up, and there's... a 4-pack, and then there's 2 dumping in or whatever, and he's just looking at him. He's like, I have no desire to go get them.
Yeah, they've got his interest, but he doesn't really care.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good. Heck yeah. Did he stop whining about halfway through, or was he still?
He really didn't whine the whole time.
Really, that's good.
Yeah, no whines.
That's super good.
Now, like, early in the morning, there was...
Sure.
When we pulled up, there was geese roosted on the pond.
Mm.
And the way this specific pond is, it's just like a pond in the middle of the field. So I was just, like, off-leash, carrying stuff in.
Sure.
Wasn't worried about him. And I hear all these geese get up, and you can hear them running, treading through the water and stuff like that. Oh, you're going to freeze. But... And then he was kind of antsy about that, and he was like, what happened, you know? But once he got, like, you know, 3 or 4 retrieves in, he was like, oh, okay. we're going, we're good.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Heck yeah.
Wasn't bad at all. I will say, he is at, so we started this season and he was at like 100 and I think it's 28 or 29.
I'll look at
I
my
can't
text.
Quite remember.
But
off
keep
the
going.
Top of my head, and the book is in, I think it's 129, but
yeah.
The book is in at my house.
You text me on Saturday at 8 or Sunday at 8:30 and you said,
yeah.
Bo started the season at 129 retrieves. He now has 254 retrieves. Which was that after your Sunday hunt?
That was I didn't.
Oh, you didn't hunt Sunday. You hunted Monday, because Sunday was the
I
day that
Tuesday.
Right. So you hunted
but
Saturday
and
Tuesday.
He didn't go on that hunt.
Okay, I got you. Okay, I got you. So he's currently at 254.
Yeah, he's 254 retrieves. So he's made
in what, 3 years?
That math adds up. Yeah, 3 years. I mean, the first 2 years, though, was like, they're just slow.
I mean, that's still
not great years.
84.666666667 birds a year.
Yeah, his first season was 58, and then his second season was whatever the difference is. So
yeah.
He's progressively picked up more birds every year.
So have we.
Yeah, that's why.
That's one of the reasons his first year, only he only picked up
58
was not necessarily because he was a bad dog then. It was just because
no.
We only shot like 70 birds total.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, heck, this year alone, I've been on. He's not came on three hunts with me already.
What?
And those three hunts were the slowest hunt was 10 birds.
Okay.
And I think he's been on every hunt that you've been on.
Yeah, yeah, I know he has.
I mean, he has over 100 retrieves just this season, and I can't say that it's the Arkansas trip because he only picked up one bird there. It's just simply, I think that I have the ability to scout more in my job, and so I'm finding a lot more birds in a lot more concentrated areas.
And the boat.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I had it last year, but.
But you're just
even it takes a, it's a learning curve with like figuring the boat out.
Yeah,
and then this year
and
it's
the lakes.
The center console, and it's like, oh, it's a lot easier now,
mm-hmm.
and all that good stuff.
I wouldn't say that our bird numbers this year versus last year are just, you know, astronomical. I will say that, between how your job is and more scouting and, ease of use of the boat is just more and just stuff. I think you've been on more hunts this year than you did last year.
Maybe I have.
I realized today I was writing notes earlier. I haven't hunted since Oklahoma. I haven't duck hunted since we were in Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was on December 10th.
That
9th.
Happens to you almost every year, though.
Yeah.
There's a good stretch where you just, like, Lubbock happens, I feel like. And then, Christmas is, like, shortly after.
Well, it's deer
and
season.
And so you're getting – and then it's still deer season. And
mm-hmm.
So it's, like, you've got – balls in other courts and you're
yeah.
kind of taking care of all that stuff, and then January hits and you're like,
I got one
holy
weekend
cow.
Left. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're like, you know, January hits, you're like, oh wow, I haven't been on like any duck hunts. Like, I need to go duck hunting, and I need to get, you know, not need to, but like it's time to switch gears, and that's what's next.
Yeah,
and then the off
for
season
sure.
rolls around, and like all you can think about is ducks. And then we get in this lull again where you're like, oh, deer season, oh, Christmas, oh, Thanksgiving, and it happens. I wish, well, I can't say it. For the sake of family, I wish I was more like you. But for the sake of hunting, I'm glad I'm the way I am.
Holy
because
crap, dude.
I will.
Go ahead. Yes, I know what you're saying.
I will just kind of. Maybe make some poor decisions sometimes to go hunting, but it is what it is.
That's what we should have called this podcast, is poor decisions.
Poor decisions. Yeah, well, we Still can.
I'm sure there's one out there. But yeah, the December's always a disaster for me. You
I
know,
thought
just.
you meant this specific episode, but I see what you say now. The whole podcast named it Poor
Oh,
Decisions.
yeah. No, we can make this one Poor Decision. Let me write that down. Poor Decision.
Perfect.
But yeah, December's always a mess because I always go to Lubbock, and then it's kind of like, okay, let me try to, and then.
Well, and then in Lubbock too, it's like you shoot a mess of birds.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm like worn, it's not that I'm like over it, but it's kind of like, okay, it's like I got my fix for right now, and so like I can afford mentally to take a weekend off and go deer hunt, and then nothing happens, and then nothing happens, and then it's Christmas, and I don't really get to hunt a lot during Christmas, or if I do, it's like I gotta, you know,
Take family out or
stay
something,
around,
or
like,
do.
yeah, and I gotta stay around, and it's like when I go deer hunting, it's like I know where I'm going, I know exactly, like I can leave at any time. Versus
And
deer hunt
two,
versus
like from your parents' house or really any relative family, it's like you're 5 minutes away
yeah it's not
at most.
yeah it's yeah it's travel wise it's not
No.
a not much of a factor, and so yeah, so it's close and I can leave at any time. Versus duck hunting, it's like, oh, we're gonna go up to Oklahoma, and it's like, okay, great, well, I gotta be here at noon, and then we, yeah, that's not gonna work, so stuff like that. And then New Year's rolls around, and the whole week, the whole first week of January was so just out of the norm for me. Just, you know, grandpa passed away and stuff, but, and so I basically, you know, didn't get to hunt 2 weekends right there. And then, and then I just like didn't have anything going on last weekend and just totally didn't hunt, which was. Yeah, so I shot my deer on the 7th, and then, I mean, I guess I did hunt. I hunted the 6th and the 7th, but then last weekend I didn't hunt at all. I was thinking about hunting on Saturday, but I just didn't really have a good place to go or anything. And then Sunday, I was just like, not gonna do that because it was gonna be so nasty on Sunday, and so I just decided to opt out. But I don't know.
I didn't hunt on Sunday for that exact reason too. The only spot I really had that was going to be worth my time, if you will, and safe. Like I could have gone and shot birds on Raybob and just kind of hunted the front kind of deal on big water. But then leaving would have been 30 mile an hour north winds.
Yeah.
Good luck with the boat. And 30,
We've done
I'm not
close.
playing that game.
No.
I'm not playing that game though.
And that's the thing is like it didn't really come down to this point because it wasn't for me, it wasn't like I had just an absolute banger pawn lined up or something on Sunday. And so it wasn't a super hard decision. It was like, do I want to go freeze my ass off for really no reason? Or do I want to go, you know, not freeze to death? And but if it was like, oh, I do have something that's just gonna be absolutely wild and everything, then it's like, is it worth it? But like, I know people who I know a guy who kayaked out on the lake on Sunday. He shot his
Crazy.
six birds in like 14 minutes, and then left. He actually had a well, I say that he shot them so fast and just kept having birds just move in and stuff. He called a buddy after he was done, and he kayaked out to him. And like when he got there, he had like a fire going, and his buddy brought like his gun. He shot his birds, and they like cooked a can of soup over the fire. They had their two limits of birds probably 30 minutes after he got there. They ate a can of soup, and then they were like, "All right, cool, let's head back." And they were still out of there by like 10:30. I was like, "Good Lord!" But I don't know. I mean, that dude's pretty diehard. He's I think he hunted on Monday too. Which honestly, I would have rather hunted on Monday than I would have hunted on Sunday, just because
No doubt.
the wind
No
was
doubt.
insane on Sunday.
Yeah,
But
it was nuts on Sunday, and it was bad on Monday and bad on Tuesday, but insane on Sunday.
yeah, Sunday night, me and Marvin were over at Nate's house. He's actually, I'm hoping I can get him on this weekend to talk about his trip. He just got back. Shooting a bunch of geese and stuff, but So he was out of town, and we were over there. And
what's he? Just out of curiosity, I mean, what's he doing like next during the week? Does he work late or what?
No.
Just have him on a normal episode.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you said weekend.
No, no, no. I'm trying. I just like to get him on like sooner rather than later while the hunt's still fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said he's got a spec to take to our guy. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I was like, make sure you name drop. You can get with discount code blah 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 blah. You can get 0% off.
That's what we need to do. We need to have Chance Johnson Taxidermy sponsor our podcast.
Dude, that'd be sick.
Gives a 5% on all mounts. I'll hit him up about it.
I mean, I'd do it. Yeah, dude. Even if he just gives us a discount, just me and you. I mean, I'd shout him out for sure. I got no problem with that. He does amazing work.
We already do.
The only reason I don't shout him out more, and I'm hesitant when you do it, is because he's already super busy, and like, and he just has to go up on his prices already. And so, yeah. Like, at some point, he's gonna be like, "Hey, I got a bird for you," and he's gonna be like, "No." And he's like, "Bring it to me, in December of 27."
Yeah.
But anywho, yeah, just he was on a good couple of hunts out west and stuff, so I'm hoping to get him on. But me and Marvin were there working on our skulls and stuff, and we were watching the Bills Steelers game, and just out of nowhere, lights go out, and like my iPad sitting there, we're watching the game while we're cleaning them, and I look over at Marvin, and it's like pitch black in the barn. All I can see is the very slight reflection of my iPad in his glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just looks, and like I can like kind of see his eyes just like slow blink at me, and then we like look down at the iPad and then like look back at each other, and we're just like, "Yo, what the f-?" And so we just really didn't know what was going on, and so turns out
forgot to pay the bills.
Yeah, I guess. And I was like, what just happened? And so we like go outside, and it's like just sunset, and I'm like, of course it is. And the wind started picking up like crazy. It kind of died down that afternoon, and we like look over, and like the neighbors over there got power, the neighbors over here got power, everybody's got power except for them. And we're like, why, what's going on? And the generator, like they have one of those big generators like wired directly in and stuff, it didn't kick on. Yeah. And it didn't kick on. We're like, what's going on? And so we were talking to his mom, trying to figure stuff out. We got the generator running, but nothing was happening. And I'm like, okay, great. And we're like trying to figure out what's going on. Like the generator's not seeming like it's not doing anything. Why is it not working? So we go and we pull the side by side out of the barn, and we go hook it up to the trailer, the welding trailer that's got a big old generator on that. So we back it up to the front of the barn. We're like going to plug it in and everything. And like, oh, it's out of gas. So like I'm filling it up with gas, and Marvin's on the phone with his dad, and he's like, hey, make sure you turn off the main breaker before you plug that in. And he's like, okay. Yeah. So he goes over there, and when he turned the breaker off, it didn't click like it normally should. And so he's like, okay, well, I'll just turn it on, turn it back off. So he turns it on, and like as he goes to turn it back off, he realizes that there are lights on. And he's like, well, that's weird. And I'm like mid pouring gas in this generator, and I'm like, happen to look up, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, there are lights on, what's going on here? And I just look at Marvin, and he just like shrugs, and I just look like I shrug back, and he's just like, no idea. Well, the main breaker had just tripped, and so the generator didn't kick on because it didn't, okay. I guess it didn't know basically.
Yeah.
And even when it was running, it couldn't push power past that main breaker, so yeah crazy. Yeah. But so that took.
That's weird that like just a main would trip like that. Maybe a rat hit it or something. Who knows?
No, I mean, yeah. With their setup, they've got, you know, so many animals and stuff, and water lines and stuff, and so they just have like probably too many heat lamps going and stuff like that. So that's mainly what it was, but. Or more than likely.
Too many heat lamps on like four different circuits. So
yeah,
like,
there's.
Man.
Yeah. So it all got figured out and everything, and so it took probably two and a half hours to get that all figured out. And of course we're running around and it is freezing, and that wind, oh my gosh, it was dark. It was just miserable for about an hour, but it was kind of fun. Just like, okay, I kind of like chaos sometimes.
Yeah, chaos.
And so, especially if it's something that like I feel like I can help with. I think that's my beige flag. One of them.
Probably.
I'm a golden retriever. Like, I just want to help so bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was Sunday. And then, yeah. So.
Okay,
yeah. What,
you had another hunt on, let's get into it. Monday.
Yeah, start with
the
Monday.
The weekend was pretty normal. I mean, Saturday, obviously went over that. Five man, bow tired, yada, yada. Sunday, absolutely nothing. Cold. Monday, I am supposed to go to the airport to come here. Go to mom and dad's house. I was going to park my truck there because dad's 250 just didn't know the status on, you know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And I was like, eh, my truck's here just in case. Just in case he needed to use it or something like that.
Sure.
And so I was like, just going to leave that there from him. And we get like, in his truck, we get like 5 miles away from the house. And I get a text. American Airlines, flight canceled. No explanation, nothing like that. Flight canceled. And I was like, oh, dad, spin around. We're going back home. And, you know, he's like, oh, okay, is your flight canceled? Yeah, flight's canceled. So I call Rod, the owner of the Colorado shop where this job is through. And I'm like, hey, flight got canceled. There's nothing else out of DFW to Bismarck today. And he was like, hey, man, all good. Is what it is. Nothing you can control. Get home safe. Well, at this point, he was like, yeah, there's a blizzard in Denver right now. I don't know if my guy's going to be able to get out. And I was like, yeah, it's 10 degrees right now. The truck was reading 10 degrees. And he was like, good what? Lord. He's 10 degrees in Texas? And I was like, yeah,
dude.
And I was like, we got half an inch of snow and everything shuts down. And he was like, that. He was just dying laughing. He was like, well, there's an actual blizzard here, so I don't know if we're going to be able to get out. And I was like, well, see, that's understandable. I was like, well, keep me updated. I'll keep you updated.
Sure.
And so I went back home, logged onto the computer. American Airlines said no more flights to Bismarck all week.
Were you originally supposed to fly directly there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So,
American Airlines.
Yeah, no, actually, let me just keep going. So get home. Southwest doesn't have anything to Bismarck. United doesn't have anything to Bismarck. Delta has a flight to Bismarck with a layover in Minnesota. Which is
Minnesota. Fun.
Whatever. I mean, it's got to happen. I got to get to. Right. I've got to get here however I can get here. And so there was an 11 o'clock flight with like a 4-hour layover. Or, no, it was only like 3 hours. Yeah, something like that. Or a 3:30 flight with like an hour and 20 minute layover. And I was like, yeah, I'll take the 3:30.
So basically, you were either going to have a layover. You're either going to have a layover in Dallas before you get on, or in Minnesota.
No, still in Minnesota both times.
No, I know, but like, if
You
just
would have
started
saying.
Your trip later, but did they both get in roughly the same time?
Exactly, like the 11 o'clock leave time from Dallas would have got in at like
it was probably
6:50, and my 3:30 flight got in at like 7:45 or something like that, like an hour later. So I was like,
okay,
yeah, I'll choose that one.
I was gonna say it's probably the same flight from Minnesota to North Dakota.
It wasn't. It was a little different, but not enough to make a difference.
No,
realistic. And I mean, like, I would have missed a day of work, so that was the difference I.
You weren't going to be able to get there.
The 11 o'clock flight would have got in here by 1:32, and I could have made it to the plant by, I don't know, 2:30, and then at least contributed a little bit, got an understanding of what's going on.
Right.
Got my safety training done at least that I had to do this morning now. Like, that would have been worth it. But It made zero difference.
Right.
So I chose a 3:30 flight and kind of just went about my day on Monday. Went back home. Didn't unpack or anything like that. Well, I guess technically I ended up kind of unpacking, but so then I was like, well, technically I got time to hunt on Tuesday.
Well, that's what we were ta that's what me and you were talking about on the phone on Monday is, you know, if you had if American had canceled your flight Sunday night, like they had done with a bunch of
Exactly.
other flights
A bunch of
for
other
Monday
flights.
morning, then you could have hunted Monday morning.
Exactly. I could have hunted both of them. I'd have went to Ray Bob and shot a stud pintail.
Yeah.
But I guess it is what it is. No harm, no foul, realistically. So I had texted a buddy and I was like, hey, I don't have to be anywhere till like 12 on Tuesday. If y'all end up getting off work, like, just kind of give me a heads up. And he's like, yeah, no doubt, for sure. And so then he called me at like 9:30 Monday night, and I was like, hey, what's up with my dad's bed? And he was like, oh, you wanna hunt in the morning? I was like, yeah, I do. He's like, okay, cool.
I sure do, actually.
Meet me at my house at like 5:30 or 5:45. I was like, no biggie, I'll be there. And then we ended up shooting
Three
we
men on
ended up
the
shooting a
ice.
three man, yeah, on the ice within 1 hour. We should have had our limit a lot earlier. A few major factors went into this hunt. A, we had no decoys. Because
Huh?
it was about a mile walk in, and the wind was wrong. So
Y'all walked
we all
in?
just, yeah, oh yeah.
Why don't you take the boat?
We couldn't.
Why?
Too windy. And the way that that boat ramp works is that like you're backing into the north. So like it would have just sank the boat right there.
Meh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a good idea, but.
Yeah. And so yeah, it was like a mile walk
So y'all didn't
in.
even take like six decoys or nothing?
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
Didn't need to.
I mean, yeah, I guess it worked out, but I definitely would have taken like six.
Yeah, the birds just I know they knew that the birds just wanted to be right there, where we were hunting, so
You said the wind was wrong?
yeah, the wind was wrong too. So we were on the south bank because that's about all we could get to, and it was this north wind. But it kind of
No, that'd be the right
hitting
wind. If you're on the south side of the bank, if you're on the south bank, oh, so you're facing north.
it. Exactly.
Oh, okay. So you're on the south side of the cove.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Then yes, that would be wrong.
So long wind, but I mean, we still had a three man within an hour. So
Sure.
we're kind of like trying to. There's loads of teal, and we were trying to wait on big ducks and stuff like that. But we were also like, "Yeah, let's get the three man and
Yeah, it's
get
also
out of
cold as
here." Yeah, it's extremely cold. So but yeah, that was a fun one. Obviously, didn't take bow because a lot of factors went into it.
That
No,
would have been a
some,
disaster.
yeah, leaving it home. Now, I will say one positive about hunting the wrong wind is that
They
the bird
blow
just
right to you.
blow right to you,
100%.
and it
Mm-hmm.
was great.
That's why I love hunting like a crosswind.
Yeah.
You know, and like the almost like on the edge where it's like the wind's blowing from
Yeah.
your left to the right and like the bank to your right's not that far. You can just walk over there and pick them up. But I mean, for the most part, you don't really have to think about that stuff because you have a dog. I do because I don't have a dog.
Yeah. Luckily, I have a dog that's halfway decent, and so he'll go pick up a duck, that's for sure. That's another thing about Saturday. So, like, obviously, we were shooting like three to, I don't know, six birds at a time kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
We had five guys there. And so, like, well, that first bird, he saw it fall. But after that, it was, like, all blind retrieves. And he actually did, for, like, 60-yard water blind retrieves, he actually did, like, really well. I think I threw, like, three shells. Usually I like to, like, throw rocks or something like that, but that pond just has zero rocks. So,
you were having to throw live shells into the pond?
That's what I always do.
I know, but... That's expensive. You should need to get a bag full of freaking marbles or something.
Yeah, no, definitely I do. But I think I only had to throw, like, three on, like, three different birds that were in the very middle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he'd see the splash. That's all he does is see the splash in the water, and he heads that way. And then he gets about halfway there, and he's like, oh, I think I know where I'm going. I see it.
Right.
And so I only had to do it, like, three times where, like, Bo didn't know any hand signals or anything like that, so.
Yeah, you can't just tell him, like, over.
No. I haven't taken the time to do that, and I'm not paying for that. So,
sure would be cool if you could.
Sorry, not sorry. That's one thing. If I could get, like, everybody at Hunt with to, like, pitch in, like, $200, I could do that, but
right.
It's like, nobody's doing that for my dog.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
But a lot of blind retrieves that day for him, for sure, and he actually really impressed me. Now, he's not making, like, 800-yard blind retrieves.
No. But, I mean, hand signals and stuff, that might be something you could work with him over the summer and get at least so he kind of knows what he's doing. Or, you know, he knows what that means. Now, if he listens, that's another thing. But
yeah, no doubt.
That's the only thing about a retriever is, like, you pretty much got to continue working with them all the time. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody says, like, oh, you got to start training at, like, you know, 6 months old or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's, I'm sure there's some benefit to that, no doubt. But, like, Bo started when he was a year old. He's only had 3 months of formal training.
Right.
Three or four, I can't remember. But three or four of, like, formal training. And then, I don't know, in 3 years, he's picked up 200. Not even three full seasons. He's picked up 254 birds. It's like, well, how can I be mad?
Yeah. He eventually gets them picked up.
I haven't had to get in the water and pick up 254 different birds.
That's true. That's very true.
So.
Yeah. It might take him 5 minutes to do it. And he might not listen very well. But he does... get it most of the time.
He does do it. I will say the amount of birds that I've lost with him on a hunt.
That number is going down.
I can definitely count on one hand.
Yeah, that number definitely goes down. Well, I mean, we lost a couple early in the season, but those were not his fault at all. They quite literally, one of them flew off and one of them ran off. Oh, and then that
scare. Yeah, he wasn't even paying attention to that bird. He didn't know.
No, he was
got it once.
He was in the decoys, and those birds ran/flew out of the blind. But that sailor you're talking about, like, it sailed hundreds of yards. Like, he would have, huh?
Are you talking about the one that we had to get the boat?
Well, I was talking about the ones that, like, ran and jumped out of the blind. But yes, also talking about the one with the boat. But, like,
yeah, we had to get
the boat. That wouldn't have mattered, dog or no dog. It was going to have to need a boat.
There was 400 yards. I'm not saying I'm a 400 yard water retrieve.
No,
you know, he's not doing that.
No, that's a terrible idea.
Even a dog that knows hand signals and stuff like that, like, the owner's not going to send him on a 400 yard water retrieve in 20 foot of water.
No, that's a terrible idea. That's a really good way to have your dog drown. I did see, speaking of dangerous water situations, I saw this weekend on Instagram. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So they were hunting, I don't know if it's Saturday, Sunday or Monday. I don't know when it was, but they're hunting. And one of his buddies shot a bird and it sailed out into the middle of the ice, like in the middle of his pond. And
I saw that.
I guess they knew it was banded beforehand because he was like, "How bad do you want that dam?"
Probably puts like if there's a bird that's like 200 yards straight ice, I'm gonna put some binos on him.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna because if he's banded, we're going for it.
Yeah, that and I guess the other thing is
if it's not banded, it's like it'll thaw. I get him eventually.
Right. That or the other thought. Is like, well, if you've got 7 or 8 guys hunting and say 2 of them are calling, even one's on camera or whatever, it's like somebody could have binos in their hands. You know, especially for like if you're in an area that does get bans versus like here, it wouldn't really make sense because it's like for you to shoot a ban here, it's like a mistake basically. It's a typo.
Yeah.
But just because, I mean, I don't know, just they don't end up here very often, but. I mean,
they're here more than we'd like to admit. But first off, like, without super cold, like we've had this year, like, I'm in North Dakota right now. Every single piece of water is locked up. The Missouri River is locked up.
Their stuff's still here frozen, like frozen.
Oh, yeah.
Still ponds. Right,
flying, as soon as I hit northern Oklahoma, looking out the plane, froze.
It's all frozen.
It's all frozen. Yep. So unless we get, you know, a perfect like that, we just don't get a great migration. So we make do with what we get, but it's not like I would say 70%, I don't want to say that, probably 60% of the birds in the central flyway are currently between Norman and the coast.
North to south. Probably,
probably closer to 75 or 80%. But that's astronomical for what we normally get.
Yeah.
Because no doubt, there's a lot of people that have a lot of good shoots. And I mean, we've had good shoots all throughout these past 4 years, and we haven't had really big freezes like this.
No.
And if we have, it's been for one day, and then it's thawed back out.
Yep.
Not enough to make birds move.
No, absolutely not.
Because birds are only going to move if they have to. And actually, I've seen a group of geese today, but I'm assuming that they're resident geese.
Probably.
They were extremely large. Like, saw them flying, and I was like, is that a group of pterodactyls? You know, that was my first thought. Like, what kind of prehistoric beast is this? They're huge. But I guess I would be if I was a resident to North Dakota and had all the food I could ever want.
Well, one, it's all the food you could ever want. And two, it's the fact of they know it's going to get cold. And so they put on a bunch of fat.
Bunch of weight. Yeah.
They put on a bunch of fat on them. And they don't do a lot of flying. They fly out of the city park or whatever and go eat once a day. But, like, you know, they're flying, I don't know, maybe 3 to 5 miles, maybe. And then they're munching for a couple hours and they're coming back. Feed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like they know where they're going. They're getting, I mean, it's like work. Like they do that pretty much every day all year round.
Yeah, no doubt.
But.
No doubt. But yeah, so we've got a lot of birds in the area right now. And I am seeing quite a bit. I'm in a Oklahoma group right now, too. And there's quite a bit of birds, banded birds, being shot in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I've seen a few in Texas. So it's cool to see. And thank the Lord for this good migration. Unfortunately, I won't be here Saturday, but
you won't.
No. My flight leaves at 6 a.m. on Saturday or something like that. Okay. So I guess if somebody's having a banger and you're still shooting, you know, you got like an 8-man going by about 11. Well, hit me up because I'll be landing at about 10:50. So I will come right away.
Yeah, I might have something lined up for Sunday. It just depends. I think I have a hunt lined up Saturday. I'm going to try and get – because the weather's not supposed to be crazy cold.
No, it's like low in the 20. Like, low to mid 20s and then like highs in the 40s.
Okay, so Saturday the low is 19 and the high is 37. So it's gonna be, I mean, it's gonna be cold, but it's gonna be sunny.
It's cold nonetheless.
It's gonna be sunny.
And where y'all are used to, heck, it's been 12 degrees for the past 3 days.
Yeah, and it's not gonna be super windy. It's like a 6 to 11 mile an hour wind. So it's not gonna be nothing crazy cold. So I'm hoping to get like Sarah out and my sisters and stuff like that. Just kind of do a little, basically just like guide almost. You still,
no doubt.
But yeah, so if I can get a number for that hill I found the other day, and I can get permission on that, then we'll go do something about that on Sunday.
That'd be
sweet. Are you still shooting the 20 gauge?
Yep.
You still liking it?
Oh yeah.
Have you shot your 12 gauge since?
Haven't.
I haven't even pulled mine out this year. Well, I took it to Lubbock with me as a backup. Has he?
I gave it to him a couple times in Oklahoma, but
nice.
About to give it to him permanently.
Fair.
And just say, hey, keep this in your safe, and then if I need it, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, the 20G has been a G.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We got to the hunt on Tuesday, and Levi was like, man, I hope box of shells is all I'll need. And I was like, a box of shells is $6, we should be all right, you know. And he was like, yeah, I've seen worse. And I was like, oh yeah, no doubt, me too. And I was like, well, I only have like 20 shells because I didn't even bring a backpack walking in that far. I had my Delta wading jacket on, and so I had like 20 shells in my coat pocket.
Yeah.
In my waiting jacket pocket. And I was like, I've only got 20. And then Hunter was like, well, I brought my backpack. I've got like 2-ish boxes and probably some leftovers in there. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, what are we all shooting today? I was like, I'm assuming y'all are shooting 12 gauges today. And they're like, no. We're shooting on 20 gauges. And I was like, cool, we're all shooting 20 gauges.
Yeah.
So I'm going to steal some shells if I need them. I didn't end up needing them.
Heck yeah. I feel a little bad, not bad, I don't know the exact way to put it, but the sub-gauge culture has made a very big push, especially over the last, like, year and a half, 2 years. It's become a very, very big, 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 big thing to not be shooting a 12-gauge. There's, you know, I don't know, it's just very popular and trendy. I'm not trying to say that I am not part of the trend, but I, like, growing up, it was like we shot 20 gauges and stuff. And when I was looking at, like, getting my first 12 gauge, my dad was like, why do you need that? Like, it's just, it's heavier, it's bigger, whatever. Like, you don't need anything that big.
Because I'm a dog.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I can shoot a 12 gauge.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, because I'm not a pussy.
That
and
was
I don't,
the whole mentality.
Yeah, it's like, because I'm not a and I don't need to shoot a 20 gauge.
Exactly.
You know?
And then we grew up and realized, this whole 20 gauge thing sounds pretty nice, right?
Yeah, it's
kind of
cheeks.
Yeah.
the 12 gauge game is kind of cheeks, but
yeah,
it's all fun. I haven't even pulled my gun out since.
Mm-mm.
That was also the hunt that you lost my calls on.
Yeah, it was. I paid you back for those though.
Yeah, you did. Which,
like I said, I would.
Yeah, I mean, I had to make it, but whatever. I mean, I replaced the calls, but I had to make the lanyard.
The lanyard,
dude.
Yeah.
So I replaced it. Yeah, I replaced that finisher, and first of all, it is much bigger than the one I originally had. It's
nice.
The same price,
that's
but it's
good.
But it's bigger. And
that's
I was like,
good.
Okay. And then after I was really thinking about it, I should have got one of those like cool like acrylic. They look just like a cylinder. I should have got one of those whistles just because they're cooler, and I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, you should have.
But I might return the one I have and make you reimburse me. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I like the whistle that I had and have now, just because I don't have to hold it. I can just stick it in my mouth and hold it with my teeth. So that's super nice.
Yeah, I left my calls in my truck, and we were on the Saturday hunt where we shot that 5-man. And I found myself just sitting in my blind going, and just work just fine.
Yeah. Can you do the Drake whistle? It's hard to get that like actual whistle part in there.
Oh yeah, I've heard Mallard do that in person. It's like I can't recreate it.
No, it's different. Yeah,
I can't, not to a T. Like I just can't recreate it to exactly what it is. Now, I can fool ducks, but I can't recreate it.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because like, you know, you go on YouTube or you learn from people how to call and stuff, and you know you.
That's the worst thing. If I had to do it, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
If I had to do it all over again, I would have never watched a person call, ever.
Yeah, for sure. That's pretty much what I was gonna say. Is like I would have listened to only bird sounds, like real bird sounds, and tried to actually listen to them in the wild as much as possible. Much as possible. Ugh.
Possible?
Yeah. Because, like, yes, birds do make the sounds that we're calling, basically, but not exactly.
No.
Like, you know how, like, you give a little kid a duck call, you know what they do is they go, meh. Yeah, and it just goes, and it sounds like a kazoo, basically.
Yeah.
It's like that. But it's, I can't like I explained
how
to
recreate it, but
but it's just like straight air. There's no like pressure or anything.
Right.
That's what gadwall sound, just chilling.
Yeah.
That's pretty much like if they're just sitting there chilling, doing nothing but just chilling. That's pretty much what they sound like, and they'll just go, meh. Well, that's more of a mallard, but they'll literally just like quack.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying. It's a gadwall quack.
Yes, and it sounds like a mallard that was.
It sounds like they're through a mallard call.
Yeah, but it sounds like a mallard that it doesn't sound right, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so weird.
No doubt. And that's the thing, too, is, like, a lot of guys get caught up in, like, oh, man, I don't know, that doesn't sound, like, exactly like a duck. It's like, well, it doesn't matter what it sounds like. If you're fooling birds, you're fooling birds.
Right.
Like, that decoy doesn't look like a live duck. I can guarantee you. But you're fooling ducks.
Right.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Couple things real quick I had on my list to go over. Okay. And I'm going to go like just really quick. I'm going to name all three of them and I'll kind of dive into them. North Dakota land. So on Onyx, landowners can go online and enter into this what's it called? Daggummit, hold on. Electronically posted lands.
Yeah.
So they can go on there and electronically post their lands, and then it pops up on Onyx, and you know you cannot hunt there without permission.
Right. Yep.
So that's pretty friggin' sweet. I didn't really know that. I knew that I knew the whole deal, like, oh, if it doesn't have a fence around it, you can hunt it kind of deal. Well, to an extent, you still have to check there. And then there's also on North Dakota's website, you can check there.
Yeah.
And
so
if they have it posted, don't hunt, you can't hunt
right,
it without permission.
Yeah. So from my understanding, it's not necessarily a fence around it. It's if it's posted. If it's not posted, you can hunt it. But one of the problems they were running into is, you know, somebody's got a 10,000 acre field. And then, it's posted here and here and here, but, you know, it's like, you're going to have, like, 200 freaking no hunting signs.
Yeah.
And so it's just something, and then those posts get in the way and everything when they're farming them, so they're just like, whatever. And plus, just the age of technology, it's like, you might as well add it, and so.
Might as well, just, yeah.
Yeah, but the best way to do it is to really, if it's not posted on the field, and it's not posted on Onyx, and it's not posted online, I mean, obviously, the best thing to do is to go ask the farmer or go ask the landowner, but technically, you don't have to.
Yeah. Anything.
But
so that was pretty sweet. I noticed that on the way in, and I was like, that was pretty cool. I can talk about that on the podcast for a couple seconds. Next up, I'll probably talk about this a little longer than a couple of seconds. Elk trip.
What?
Elk trip.
Who?
Me.
Oh, nice.
Dad and Vaughn are kind of passing the reins, so to speak. So, me, Vaughn's son, and then Vaughn's nephew, which is his wife's brother. I think that's nephew, right? Is that nephew?
His wife's brother would be his
Oh,
brother-in-law.
that's brother-in-law. So sorry. I don't know
Yeah,
why I said nephew. That was dumb.
that might be
Next. All right.
that might be a nephew in Alabama, but
So yeah, one's brother-in-law, but Michael is like, Michael took me on my first duck hunt ever. And so super sweet. So and then obviously my two younger brothers, Miles and Mac, are more than welcome if they can make time. So they're kind of passing the reins, and so we're going up to Colorado, and Dad and Vaughn have a nice cabin for themselves. Like 20 miles away
They
from the
bought a cabin?
trailhead. Yeah, well, Vaughn did.
Oh.
Mike and Vaughn did. So they didn't buy one. They're renting it for like the week and a half,
Oh, I
week and a
gotcha.
half or
Okay.
whatever it is. And then the rest of us are staying. We have the option to stay at that cabin if we need to for like one or two nights. But pretty much staying in like the tent, at the trailhead, and then elk hunting. And they're pretty much just there to pack an elk out if we shoot one.
Yeah, and just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and so I've been to this mountain range with them when I was a senior in high school. So
Oh,
same
by
mountain
this
range.
specific mountain range, you mean the Rockies?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it is the Rockies.
it is technically the end of the Rockies, but it'll be a fun trip, no doubt. The like Michael and Beth, technically they're both of their names are Michael, but
Ugh.
Michael and Weldon, two really good guys. They're both strong, able young men. So I hope that one of us can kind of get it done.
When y'all target,
I will. Oh, we're going like first week.
okay, so bow season.
Yeah, first week, bow
Nice.
season. I will not be passing on anything. If a cow walks out at 40 yards, she will get an arrow.
You gonna get a cow bull tag?
Yeah, that's what these tags are. It is a draw unit, for the public land. So,
Yeah.
but it's like a 99% draw.
Yeah, it's just such a big unit.
Yeah. It's like 99% chance that you'll get drawn. So I hope that if a legal bull walks out at 20 yards or 40 yards too, he will also be getting an arrow. Whatever walks out
For
first
sure.
will be getting an arrow. I don't really care. It's a bow harvest. It's an elk hunt. Getting an arrow, period.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week for a minute, but there's something about, and like people say, like, once you are successful with the bow, like you'll never go back to a rifle, basically. And I know exactly what they're saying to an extent. Definitely agree with that. To an
I
extent, but like
personally
I.
won't agree. I mean, like, I enjoy smoking something with a rifle just as much as I enjoy smoking something with a bow.
Yeah, it's just a
Well,
diff. It's just different, if that makes
it
sense.
is 100%
But they're
different. Like,
both.
a successful hunt is a successful hunt. Now, if I had to draw it up exactly the way I wanted it, it's at 20 yards with my bow. No
Oh
doubt.
yeah. Oh yeah. And
But,
like it's one of those deals where like
as I said,
you're drawn back and he, steps forward broadside, stops, looks to, just stops there and then you just
yeah.
smoke him. Yeah, that's exactly how you draw it up. Like
That's how I draw it up.
yeah.
But a successful hunt is a successful hunt.
Oh, for sure.
So that'll be very fun. I got word of that. We're kind of passing the reins, so That works
Heck
for
yeah.
me.
Heck
And
yeah.
then last thing I have on my notes is fire Dak and Mike. Kind of tired of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't realistically think that either of them need fired. I just, good Lord, that made me mad.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
I don't follow football, and especially professional football, all that much. I do follow college football,
yeah.
but it's like being a Cowboy, well, being from Dallas, DFW, my entire life. It's like, yes, I have followed the Cowboys every single year.
Right.
Am I a diehard fan? Absolutely not. Does it frustrate the dog out of me when they go out and play bad football?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
I'm
Yes, it
kind of the
does.
same
Very
way.
much so.
I'm definitely more invested than you are in the Cowboys.
Definitely.
But like I'm not the type of guy, like I will get frustrated and kind of not worked up, but yeah, it's kind of worked up. But I'm not the type of guy who I'm not going to go punch the TV or throw something through the TV. Or
No,
I'm
good
not going
Lord,
to,
no.
you know, if I had, if I got, I don't have any jerseys, but if I had a Dak Prescott jersey, I wouldn't have burned it this weekend. Like, I'm not going to do any of that crap just because I think it's
Yeah.
dumb. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's dumb. But no, I totally agree. I don't know exactly what the thought process was on, you know, taking the number one offense in the league and going, okay, this is what we've done all year. This is what they got tape on. We're gonna completely switch it up. Like,
Let's
they were super,
just
super,
reverse it.
yeah, they were super, super, pass heavy on first downs all year long. And then the first half, I think they passed like 3 or 4 times on first downs. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb, he wasn't,
Not that
he,
they had too many first downs to pass
right. Yeah,
on, but
exactly. And it wasn't even that like CeeDee Lamb was completely shut down, 'cause he wasn't. There were a couple drop passes, and there was a couple times where they just like
like
Dak
four
and
or five balls in his hands that he just did not catch.
Dak and Lamb were just not on the same page for whatever
Nope.
reason. I don't like I have no idea why, but it was kind of ridiculous to just to see that. They definitely came back and made it a game in the second half. The score does not show how bad that game was. Not, I
Yeah.
mean, it was essentially, what was it, 21-0 at the half, 24, like it, because they scored that touchdown with
Yeah.
like 8 seconds left on
Seconds,
in the
yeah.
half, in the first half. And so, and I mean, they came out and they went back to their original game plan, and they played ball really well in the second half, or pretty dang well in the second half. But I mean, I think it was kind of doomed from the beginning. I don't think it was jitters or anything like that, because pretty much
No.
all those guys have been there before. I think it was,
Every year.
yeah, I think it really was just one of those deals where like they were like, okay, here's our game plan for this, you know, this week or whatever, and that's it was bad. It was just doomed from the word go. I don't know. I don't know if they were like, we're gonna just give them something new because it's the playoffs or whatever, and they got all this tape on this. I don't know exactly what the thought process was, but it didn't execute, and it took them a quarter too long to change anything. If they would have, you know,
Yeah.
did exactly the same thing in the first quarter, and then the second quarter come out, and then they're like, okay, screw this, it's not working. Obviously, we're gonna go back to how we play football. The good chance they would have won. Good chance, cause they, I mean, they were really, I mean, about, you know, I mean, if they could have made that switch that they made at the halftime, if they would have made that switch between the first and the second quarter, then they would have won that game. But also, I don't know, Green Bay was walking all over our defense, which was wild, cause they were like one of the best defenses in the league and for most of the year, and I think the best fantasy defense, but it was just a weird deal. I
No,
don't
I mean, heck, our defense gave up, like, let them have the first down in the football game.
Yeah.
It's
and
just
that's
like, oh, here you go. You can, well, just have this.
yeah.
And we gave up like, I don't know, 15 yards or something like that on that. And then they were just like, oh, cool. And they were like, all right, we'll just march down the field. And then they ended up scoring. And it's like, oh, nice. You know, we did it. And then they get momentum. And it
Yeah.
keeps going. And we have no momentum. And it's like, oh my good
Yeah.
Lord.
I
It
mean,
was a pain to watch.
yeah, I mean, we definitely didn't slow their momentum down any in the second half, or very much
No.
at least, but we started to gain some and pick up some first down and put some points on the board, but I don't know, it was just messy. It was rough to watch, really.
Bad football.
I will say, and I'm not trying to completely blame it on the refs because how bad they played, the refs wouldn't have changed the outcome of the winner or the loser of that game. There were a handful of missed no calls, which were
Yeah.
some of them were like, and some of them were like, yeah, that was really bad. I will say
I would
though,
agree with
Micah Parsons got two holding calls in the first
that.
quarter, so or
Yeah.
I think in the first quarter, definitely the first half.
Quarter
And so I
and
was
a half,
like, dang, it took him 3 years to get a holding call, but he finally got one, and it did
yeah.
absolutely nothing. So great. I don't know.
I will say for maybe this is controversial, maybe not. This is strictly a personal opinion for how mediocre the Dallas Cowboys are. They get way too much media attention.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like I mean it's like the Yankees. The Yankees have been trash since 2009. So, I mean they've been absolutely garbage. So, I mean it's just kind of one of those things. I mean they and that's like there's so many Cowboy fans
They get a
across.
big head about them. All the players do. Oh, we're on the media all the time. You know, look at me. Albertsons wants to sign me for $1 billion. I don't give a crap. You
Yeah.
can't play football. You can't play football.
Well, and that's the thing is like it's not
Make
the
it past the first round,
Yeah.
and we'll talk.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like it's not that any of those guys can't play football because they can and they've shown it that they've
Yeah.
played really good football all year long and then they just don't and it's just I don't know what it
Hey,
is.
I had the option to get an early vacation. I might
Yeah.
be in their situation too. I don't know.
I
I
mean,
can't say for sure. Now, do I think that that's what they're doing? No.
no.
And do I think that they're all getting in a huddle and be like, all right, boys, we made it this far. We get a little bit of bonus this year. Let's be done. Let's go on vacation.
Well, and that's the thing
No,
is like,
I don't
unless it,
think that that's at all what they're
no.
doing.
And unless
But
it's a contract year for you, it's like, we'll just
yeah.
basically tank and get some good picks. And then you get an extra early vacation. Like I don't think they're tanking on purpose.
No.
I don't know exactly what happens, but
Something happens and they can't seem to make it out of the first round.
yeah, I don't know. But it is definitely
Well, the
frustrating, but
Eagles didn't either, so it's like,
yeah, dude, I
whatever.
was the biggest Buck fan on Monday night.
I think that's what I'm going
Sunday
for from
night.
here on out.
Sunday night. The Bucks.
Baker Mayfield, baby.
Well, here, let me
We'll probably lose this weekend, and I'll be
probably
like, what am I going to do now?
let me do something before we get too into this. Let me see if I can add Marvin to this phone call.
Your call has been forwarded to
God,
an automatic message.
Marvin.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I text him, but that was kind of my plan was I was gonna have him on, hoping to either do like, both of you on or I didn't know how your schedule was gonna be, so I was like, maybe it'll
Yeah.
work out just Marvin. But I want to do a pick'em of the next couple weeks. I thought about doing it for the regular season, and then I was like, I just kind of dropped the ball on it. And then I was like, oh, I want to do it for the playoffs. That'd be cool. Ready? You want to do the pick'em?
Okay, let's go.
All right. Okay, so who do you got for the, we'll start with the AFC. Who do you got in the Kansas City Bills game?
Bills.
You got the Bills?
Bills Mafia. Yeah, I really think that Josh Allen just kind of goes through there and shows Patrick Mahomes. Who's boss?
I mean, I don't think they've ever beaten him in the playoffs, but it's in Buffalo. And I mean,
it's in Buffalo.
I mean,
Kansas City is, I mean, yeah, they beat Miami pretty good. No doubt. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean,
but look at the five games before that.
Buffalo's hot.
You played like crud.
Buffalo's hot and Kansas City's cold.
And then Buffalo is going.
Yeah. I'm taking Buffalo as well.
Okay. Good. We're on the same page.
Who you got? I'm hoping Marvin will call me here in just a second and we can get him to kind of jump in. Who do you got? Houston at Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Number one seed, Baltimore. You taking Baltimore?
That's pretty no-brainer.
I'm taking Houston.
Wow.
Wow, I totally wrote down the Browns.
Would you like to place a online wager? By online, I mean like on podcast wager.
No, because gambling in the state of Texas is illegal. We'll talk after.
Okay.
I'm taking the Texans. You're taking the Ravens?
I'm taking Ravens all day.
All right. So, yeah, we'll just go through and just pick them. You know, pick winners. If we're relatively tied, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. We'll discuss. Bucks or Lions? It's in Detroit.
See, this is where I have a very hard time picking. Because.
What, do you want to pivot and go to the Green Bay San Fran game right now?
I want to pivot. I do. And I think San Francisco all the way.
Yeah.
I don't think a rookie Jordan Love has it in him. Where's that game at?
It's in San Francisco. They're the number one seed.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
I Jordan Love. Actually, I'll go as far to say as Jordan Love.
Here it is. Marvin, can you hear me? Hold on, Marvin.
Hello.
20 minutes ago.
Yeah, this was a huge cluster. Okay, Marvin, we're doing a pick'em. Okay.
What are we picking?
The last four playoff games, and I'd like to do the next two and the Super Bowl, but we'll see.
We're doing all of them.
Huh?
Okay.
We're doing them.
You want to do the first round?
First round's done.
Okay, who do you got, Philly or Tampa Bay, Marvin?
Philly.
You taking Philly? I mean, that's a pretty safe bet. Okay. So I'm just going to run you through the three games me and Mike have already picked, and then after you pick, I'll tell you who we pick just so you're all caught up. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Kansas City or Buffalo, at Buffalo?
Let's say Buffalo.
Taking Buffalo?
So being in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what me and Marvin, or me and Mike both picked.
Both took.
Yeah. All right, you got the Ravens or Texans in Baltimore?
As much as I hope the Texans, I don't think they're beating Baltimore.
I took the Texans.
Especially not in Baltimore.
I took the Texans.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see.
Do you think?
Do what?
This little CJ Stroud is going to go in to Lamar Jackson's house and say, knock, knock. Guess who's home?
I don't know. I'm kind of hoping. I mean, he's. I don't know. They look really good. I don't.
Wrong.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Wrong.
It wouldn't surprise me if he outperforms Lamar.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
But I still think the Ravens beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then so Green Bay at San Francisco, who do you got?
San Francisco by 30.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so this is the the Bucks Lions game we haven't picked at all.
Okay.
Nobody's picked.
None of us have picked. Okay, Marvin, go ahead. Bucks at Detroit.
I'm going with Detroit.
You're going with Detroit.
As much as I like and want to see Baker's run keep going, I don't see it getting through Detroit.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm in the same boat as Marvin. I want Baker Mayfield to win it all. I would love to see that. Now, will he? No, he will not. His run ends next week.
In Detroit?
His run ends next week in Detroit. And I have so much confidence. I said earlier on the podcast, everybody can go ahead and replay it. It's literally recorded. I told everybody that I guess I'm now a Tampa Bay fan.
Yeah.
I really want Baker Mayfield to win. But I would go as far to say as Dan Campbell will lead the Detroit team all the way to the Super Bowl. Whether they win that or not, it's not that's out of my control.
Right.
But I think they'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, they're either going to have to get past San Francisco or they're going to have to get past a Green Bay team that beat San Francisco. But I kind of think the Lions could do it too. But we'll see.
I'd love to see a little Michigan college sports or a college.
A little double tap?
Michigan
football double tap?
That's exactly right. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
For the state, I have absolutely zero association with Michigan other than the fact that my dad was born and raised there. But never been there. Nothing like that. But I'd love to see it. So that's the only reason that I really, really, really want them to win. Love to see it. I think they can do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, Marvin, you took the Lions. Micah, who are you going with, the Lions?
Lions all the way.
Yeah, I'm taking the Lions.
Yeah, that's a smart decision. So, listen, I've got a little thing to settle about this Baltimore-Houston deal. So, I'll hit you up.
Okay.
There will be money involved.
Well, here, do you want to...
Be ready.
Do y'all want to take this a step further and do a lock and or an upset? Did any of us pick an upset?
I didn't.
Yeah, the Lions is all an upset.
Is it really?
That's debatable.
Yeah, the Lions
are debatable.
No, it's not. I screwed that up. The Bucks are 4, the Lions are 3. I'm sorry. No, the only reason the Bucks are in the playoffs is because they were the best of the worst division.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, I mean, technically, my Texans are an upset.
Yeah.
And then, Buffalo's ranked higher. So, do y'all want to do a lock and an upset or not?
Sure.
So to do a lock, one of y'all are gonna have to change one of your things. So basically, how the point system works is, you pick a team. If it's not a lock or an upset, if you get it right, it's a point. If you don't get it right, it's zero. It's not a point. A lock is 2 points, and an upset is 2 points. So, like, a lock, if you miss 2 points. Or I guess you go down 2 points, technically. It's either 2 points for you or 2 points negative.
I made my picks. I think that that's genuinely who's going to win the football game.
Yeah.
To go against that for this lock deal, lock and upset deal. That's not what I picked.
Right. We'll just keep it like this week, and then maybe next week we'll do an upset. Because, I mean,
I'll give you one of each.
You want to give one?
I can.
Okay. Which is which?
The upset. I think the upset could be Green Bay over San Francisco.
You really think so?
I think they looked good against the Cowboys. Oh, granted, they played awful. I mean, I personally think
I've got a wonderful deal for you. If you really think that deep down inside, I've got about a 10.
Oh my God, Micah.
For you.
Anyways, we'll
I'll make that deal today.
I think that'd be the biggest upset.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, because the Bucks could very well beat the Lions.
Yeah. I mean, I think
in reality, the Chiefs and Bills are 50-50. They got the
100%.
They got Buffalo at 6% better chance, but
you get like 3%. You get like 3% for being the home team.
Yeah.
So I mean,
they're basically 50-50.
Yeah. Have the Bills ever beat Kansas City in the playoffs though? I don't think they have.
I don't know. If I'm going to think about that, I'm going to think Mahomes Allen. And I don't think Allen's beat Mahomes for playoffs. Well, then say what you mean.
Well, I mean, yeah, not in the last 6 years.
I don't think so. I know they're 3-3 against each other. But I don't think
playoff wins. And Chiefs has it.
Yeah, I think in the playoffs, the Chiefs have them all three times. Or every time.
Yeah. I can't remember a time that they didn't. Anyways, I could read into it, but yeah, so who are you taking as a lock then, Marvin?
Lock in the Baltimore Ravens beating the piss out of the Houston Texans.
I don't think they beat the piss out of them.
I think it's probably the
second closest game this week.
I think the old Harbaugh streak keeps going.
So who do you? So
I guess I took that upset as kind of a backwards.
Do what?
Because I was thinking biggest upset, but yeah, I'll stick with it. Whatever.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be the biggest upset. That would definitely be the biggest upset. But no, I mean, an upset just has to be the team
that's
not ranked, or you know, the team that's supposed to be the upset. Which
can I change it, or am I locked in?
Tampa Bay is your lock?
No, so can I change it, or am I locked into that upset?
It's a pen, so yeah, I guess you can change it. I'm literally just writing it down, so you can do whatever you want.
Okay. Then I'm not going to cop out with the Chiefs. Give me the upset of Tampa over Detroit.
You want Tampa over Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then lock the opposite of what I said for my previous, or for the other, San Fran over Green Bay.
So your upset is Tampa over Detroit.
Yeah.
And your lock is San Fran over Green Bay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because in reality, I don't see the Buck Lion or Chief Bill an upset either way.
Yeah, I mean, you could technically take the Chiefs as the upset, but
that's a cop-out upset answer.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's literally number three and number two and number three.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't.
But, yeah, I'll stick with that.
Let me see. The Bills' record for this year was
11-6.
Yeah, they're 11-6, and the
they're both 11-6.
Okay, yeah. So it, I mean, whatever. Let's look at the line real quick.
But,
I had it.
I mean, the look at the Chiefs' last like 7 games.
I've personally never understood lines and spreads and all that. I've never looked into them.
Yeah,
so I don't understand any of that.
Nah, I don't understand them either. Okay, Micah.
Like, I understand the over-under, but not spreads and all that.
Yes, yeah. I don't. That's a lot of math. So I have my lock is San Fran over Green Bay, and then my upset is Houston over Baltimore. Micah, who is your lock and upset?
Listen, I get it. Going with the safe option. San Fran is 110% going to beat Green Bay Packers like
God, Micah.
No doubt about it.
Jesus.
I will go with the road less travel here.
What are you about to do?
I will lock in Ravens over.
So that's so you're taking the Ravens as your lock. That's interesting because I have them as my I have that as the upset.
I know you do. I know you took the traveled. And you just took the number one seed, beating the little rookie boy.
No, that's what you did.
Play. Yeah, they're good. I just said they're 110% going to win that game.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're the number one seed for a reason. So, but I don't know.
Man, who was his upset?
I said upset because I'm taking Houston.
So what was it? Did Micah say his upset?
No, he hadn't gotten there yet. He'd been talking about the freaking Ravens for the last 7 minutes. Who's your upset, Micah?
I think that you're going to beat them bad.
That's fine. that's what
I agree. They probably beat them. It's not going to be bad.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. I think it's going to be a better game than you think, but I don't think it's going to be an absolute.
I think it'll be a good football game. It'll be a very entertaining football game.
Texans,
I think the Ravens end up taking it by about 2 scores.
The Texans just embarrassed the best, one of the best defenses in the league.
Arguably the best defense in the league.
And the Ravens do not have the best defense in the league.
No.
Quite literally, look at what the Cowboys just let up. So we can go off the best defense in the league in the regular season all we want. But look what the Cowboys just did.
That's fair. I mean,
we can go off the best team in the league in the regular season. That's the Ravens.
Yeah.
That's right. Say they're going to win.
That's right.
Sure.
All right. Before we go down a rabbit hole any further, Micah, who's your upset?
My upset, as much as I think that the Lions are just going to take over this game, the only logical, in my opinion, upset is Tampa Bay over.
I mean, you could take Kansas City over Buffalo. That's also an upset.
I could.
Okay, so you're taking Bucks as well.
I am.
All right.
I think the Chiefs are the safest upset.
Yeah, safe for sure. But look at both of my picks that I just made. Were any of them safe? Absolutely not.
No.
Do I 110% believe them? 110%.
Yeah. So, okay. So let me run through this real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So let me start with the locks. My lock is San Francisco. Marvin's lock is San Francisco. Micah's lock is the Ravens.
Yep.
My upset is the Texans, and both of y'all's upset is the Bucks.
Yep.
I think y'all's upset is definitely way more likely, but whatever. Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, it's all kind of a crapshoot. You know, I mean, they say numbers don't lie, but if those, I mean, there's so many variables and stuff, and so it's a sport. It's not a science project.
You know? I will say, I seen an interview earlier. I don't know when this was. I think it was today. I'm trying to hold back my words and keep this as politically correct as possible. The little reporter person was asking the Tampa Bay head coach, "Oh, what is your team doing to prepare for the Denver, for the Detroit temperatures? Yada this, yada that." He, with a straight face, looks at her and goes, "Absolutely nothing." And she's just sitting there puzzled, right? And he goes, "You do realize they're playing a dome."
Yeah.
And she, I mean, I busted out laughing because I knew where he was going with it. Obviously, Denver plays in a dome. They're one of the actually very few smart teams in the NFL to have a dome. I think everyone should have a dome in the NFL. I hate that we had to change the Bills game to, what, 2 or 3 days after scheduled
training. It was the next day.
It was supposed to be on Saturday, correct?
It's supposed to be on
Sunday.
Yeah, it's supposed to be on Sunday. There's supposed to be a Saturday game, two Sunday games, and a Monday game, but they just bumped it to Sunday or Monday. But yes, I totally agree with you, Micah, because this was almost the third year in a row or the third out of the last 4 years that Buffalo's had to play on a neutral site because of snow. But I don't think everybody needs a dome. I don't think the Chargers need a dome. San Francisco doesn't need a dome. Tampa Bay don't need a dome.
Dallas doesn't.
Dallas kind of needs a dome because it's so hot.
In September, I mean, it's liable to be 108 degrees still.
Yeah.
I'd rather play in 108 than 3 foot of snow.
100%.
For sure.
But it gets hot in California.
Over 108.
Yeah.
It gets really hot in California.
Not in San Francisco, it doesn't.
There's no way.
San Francisco?
Yeah.
San Francisco. Do you know where San Francisco is?
California?
It's almost Oregon. Like, it's 90% of the way up the state. It's Northern California. It's cool up there.
365 days.
I mean, for the most part, yeah. I mean, it does get cold up there, but it doesn't. In San Francisco, it's definitely more of a cold factor than a heat factor.
Very likely, but I mean, you said Chargers. Anyway, it can still get hot.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and that's the thing,
and
is like
direct sunlight.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is anywhere that, you know, is it?
Come on.
I have no idea what you just said.
Not at all.
But anywhere that it's
don't hear me.
No, it just mumbled. What'd you say?
I just said tomato, hot and hot.
Oh, yeah, I see. I mean, anywhere that, you know, that snow's not a factor, heat is. Miami, New Orleans. So, I mean, like, it is, like, I understand the argument of everywhere needs a dome, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, it just kind of takes the element out of it. And I've said this before, I would like to see. Now, I don't know if this actually logistically works out, but I would like to see Buffalo do like a retractable dome, kind of like the Cowboys or like the Rangers or Mariners, somebody like that. So like when it is nice outside, you can have it open and it's like a regular stadium. Or like this weekend, they could have opened it in the morning and let it snowed, or opened it an hour before the game and let it snow during the game. But you weren't playing in 4 feet of, like, you didn't have to worry about moving it. Because, like, if it is going to just absolutely dump and, like, you can't logistically do around it, then, like, you can play in a dome and you get home field advantage. You know, I mean, that's what Detroit's done. That's what the Vikings have done. That's what the Soldier Field for the Bears is still outside. I mean, there's still there are northern fields.
To me,
playing a football game in 40-degree weather, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, in 40-degree, but not negative 20.
Exactly.
With so 4 feet of snow on the ground.
Dome, retractable dome sounds fabulous. I mean, that's what Dallas did.
And I'm sure
it's liable to get. I mean, we've seen this week. It's 12 degrees. Well, there's no precipitation with that, so open the dome.
They could have,
nice
but I mean,
to play football in that.
No, but I mean, 90% of the time, Dallas's roof is closed just because it's just nicer. Unless it's going to be 72, which is going to be
paying that AC bill.
Yeah, yeah. And like, unless it's going to be 72 degrees outside, like it is inside the dome, they're going to keep the dome closed just because that's how they run things. But like, they could. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not the one making that call. And I'm sure it's not feasible to where you can like open it 2 hours before game time and let it snow or let it open. You can't open it and let it snow during the game. I'm sure that's not really an option, but it would be cool. But
to me personally, a dome kind of gets rid of home field advantage to an extent.
Yeah, no, it definitely does.
100%. It makes it a, besides fan noise, it makes it a very neutral site.
Well,
yeah, like you have more fans, but conditions are all the exact same. You're all, I mean,
right.
But granted, they're always the same.
That's why, I mean, had just the awful turf that they got used to? Who was that? What stadium was that?
The Astrodome.
No football. There was a football stadium that had notoriously bad turf, and it's known for ACL sprains. For some reason, I can't think of it right now.
Everyone? I mean, Astro turf was basically concrete. But that was, I mean, that was years ago. Are you talking like recent?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You're not talking about the Cardinals, are you?
No, this is football.
Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals.
Maybe it was.
Which, that's grass. Their field has been notoriously slippery the last 2 years. But it.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. And it being actual grass.
Yeah, but I mean, that wasn't.
There was a stadium with turf that was just like, everybody hated playing there, and it was known for ACL tears. Maybe I'm thinking of something wrong.
You got any ideas, Marvin?
Like, that's home field advantage.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're trying to outlaw turf every day just because it is doing pretty much nothing but injuring more players.
Yeah, well, so is only practicing once a week, but here the NFL is.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And there's a lot more factors to that.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, you know, like an example of things were flipped around a little bit this year. I mean, like Baltimore's got a big home advantage against Houston, but things were flipped around a little bit more, and Houston was playing in either Kansas City or Buffalo this weekend. That's a big big disadvantage for Houston.
Right.
You know, a team that plays in a dome in the South, you know, it's not going to be cold, or, you know, whatever, versus, or they go, you know, Super Bowls in Green Bay or whatever it is, you know, something like that. And I think that's one of the reasons that, like, I think the last time that the Super Bowl was held not in a dome was in San Francisco a handful, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, something like that. So,
yeah, I will say I'm extremely happy for Houston. I mean, they've had J.J. Watt, the best defensive player in the league, and this was 2 years ago. But for the past, like, what, he played there for however many years, 6 years, something like that. So I'm very happy for them for finally being pretty good. But with that said, I mean, they, as I've stated, plenty of times on this podcast, that I think their reign ends next week.
Yeah, I mean, that's a solid pick. I mean, there's no reason to, you know, venture upon, like, you know, past that, because I mean, that's a solid pick. They're the number one. They're the number one pick in it, and they're, you know, Houston's the number four.
Yeah.
Which, now that I just realized it, it's on the AFC side, it's Baltimore 1, Buffalo 2, Chiefs 3, Houston 4. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. And on the NFC side, it's the exact same, except for Green Bay's number 7, because Dallas was the only home team to lose.
Yeah.
So.
Ending that, what, however many game win streak, what was that, Marvin, do you remember? Or Elijah?
This season it was 8. But it expanded back to last season because we played. Who did we play in the first round last year, Marvin? We lost on the road. Oh, it was San Fran, wasn't it? No, we lost to Tampa Bay 2 years ago against Tom Brady.
Oh,
we beat Tom. Well, he won one. I forgot we beat him in his last one.
Something like that. Was it San Fran? Either way, I know we lost on the road. But
yeah, I think we'd won 15 straight at home.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was like a year. It was like a year and a half or something. It was almost 2 seasons straight.
Yeah.
But all right, gentlemen. Well, it is getting late, and
no doubt about it.
Yeah, you got a big day tomorrow. Me and Marvin both got to work as well. We've been recording for about 2 hours and 10 minutes, which is going to get cut down quite a bit. But
good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, a bunch of this is going to get cut down, so it'll probably be about 1:40. But still. All right, well, thank you very much for being on here, Marvin. Micah, be safe and be warm up there. And I guess we'll chirp at you next time.
Adios.
See y'all.
Peace.